Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Children,
what a mess they make.
I yelled at them. They never listen to me. It's very frustrating.
This behavior must stop at once.
Other moms don't need help. Other moms make it look so easy.
Buckle up, because you're going for a ride.
I'm Jim Burns. Having adolescent children in your home can seem like a thrill ride for them and for you as their parents. Thrill seekers get their kicks from getting on a powerful river in a raft or a kayak and running the rapids. They say that the thrill of conquering a powerful river is a bigger rush than any other extreme sport. Well, my guest today on Homeward is a man whose goal is to help us parents lead our kids who are running the rapids of their adolescence. Author Kevin Lehman is here once again, and during the next half hour, we'll continue to talk about tips for surviving your kids' adolescence. So stay with us here on Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, I am smiling because we have Kevin Lehman with us again today. Surviving your kids' adolescence is our topic. And last time, I tell you, that was quite a conversation. Kevin, I appreciate it because every time you've come to Homeward, you liven up the place with just your phraseology. Sometimes I bet you people get upset with you.
Well, I guess they do. But you know what? What you ought to do is come to the Lehman home and visit with our kids and see the kind of kids that we've produced. Yeah. We produce kids who care about other people. I was driving Lauren to school, and she screamed, "Dad, Dad!" I said, "Did I hit something again?" She said, no, you forgot, it's Monday." Well, it's garbage day in the neighborhood, and this little 12-year-old daughter runs up and gets this old lady's garbage, brings it down faithfully, doesn't even know her name, does it anonymously. All of our kids have that ability to care about other people. I think it goes back to the fact we haven't given them everything.
Right.
That same Lauren came home in fourth grade and told me at dinner, she said, "Dad, I need baseball spikes." She was on the softball team. But you know what? She was the only kid on the team that played in sneakers the entire year. I want to point out her psyche was not damaged.
Yeah.
You know, just giving kids things is not the answer, folks. You got to give your kids affirmation, love, discipline. And you've got to believe in them.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this in the last program, that kids who feel as though they belong in their families really won't be as involved in deviant behavior in many ways.
So well, see, if you grew up on a farm, a Kevin Lehman can't teach you much. Because on the farm, everybody gave back to the family. Everybody was accountable. Everybody was a part of the bigger unit. And that doesn't happen today. Well, most parents are raising kids in a hotel and not a home.
Yeah, and what do you say to the parent who says, "I get it, I haven't been doing it right, but I've got a kid who's now, you know, 17 and 13, and maybe I've even got a 9-year-old, and I've been doing this thing for him. How do I make the change?"
Well, you do so somewhat abruptly. You don't come home with a, "Now hear this, I listened to Jim Burns and some guy he had on his program today, and things are going to be different around here from 0800 tomorrow morning." Not a good idea. It would be a real good idea if you're going it alone in life as a single parent to have a talk with yourself and realize that you only have so much time during a day. Avoid the activity trap. Activities are not the answer for kids. If you're married, talk to your spouse. Figure out what we're going to do next term differently to give you a shot. I don't know about you, Jim. I want that indelible imprint from me to my kids. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to be branded that they're a Lehman. And the only way you do that is if you have time with your kids, where you can slip them those commercial announcements and train them up in a positive way.
And it really happens not so much when you're sitting down at a table saying, now let's go through these 10 steps. It's when you're in the car driving and all of a sudden you have that conversation. It's when you're just doing stuff together, maybe shooting hoops with your son or having some kind of a time with it.
My daughter, Lauren, on the way to school, she asked, Dad, what's a one-night stand? She heard it on the radio. And again, I'm telling you, you cannot protect kids today.
Right.
Their innocence is gone way, way, way too early in life. So I took the time to tell her what it was. And of course, I made it colorful. I talked a little bit about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, and how they're not that bad. They just visit you every month. And sometimes they can cause everything from sterility to blindness to death, you name it. I think I put the fear of God into her.
Yeah, in a teachable moment. Because she brought it up, you didn't have to bring it up.
And
that part of that is just by spending time by driving her there. Adolescence is such a turbulent time. And it's funny, not just for the kids, but for the parents as well.
You know what I should tell your listeners is this. You're listening to a man who graduated fourth in his class in high school, but it was fourth from the bottom and not fourth from the top. And yet, you know, my dad, eighth grade educated, Irish Catholic background, my mother was a working nurse. I was a latchkey kid in a time when there weren't latchkey children. And you know what? They believed in me. And there's a great little episode in the classic series, Andy and Mayberry, where little Opie comes home with a quarter and a hatchet. And Sheriff Taylor says, where did you get that? Mr. McBeavy gave it to me. Well, before long, of course, Barney Fife didn't help at this point. Barney was picturing little Opie as just a lion dog, to put it bluntly. Well, little Opie had told him Mr. McBeavy lives in the trees, walks in the treetops, jingles when he walks, has 12 arms, has smoke coming out of his ears, and he wears a silver helmet. Well, Andy Mayberry, despite the protests of Barney, chose to believe in his son, as inconceivable as those statements were. He went out to the forest where he said this man was. He sat on a stump and he said audibly, Mr. McBeavy. And from above he heard, McBeavy? Did someone call McBeavy? And down comes Mr. McBeavy, Jim, who was a telephone linesman, who walked in the treetops, jingled when he walked, had 12 arms, his tools, as he called them, a silver cap, and Sheriff Taylor looked at him and said, you can blow smoke out of your ears, can't you? There's a great teachable moment there. If you're the only one that's going to believe in your kid, believe in them.
Yeah.
Because you make a difference.
How do you do it when your kids aren't living up to even their ability to do what they should be doing?
Again, a great question. I think you tell your kids, eyeball to eyeball, no matter what you do in life, I will love you. Nothing you do, nothing will separate you from my love. Now, doesn't that sound like nothing separates you from the love of Christ? There's a great little scripture, by the way, over in the book of Jude. The effect of it is, always stay in the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. And parents, as you're going through these rapids, these white water, you better cling to what's really clingable. And you better hang on to those promises from Almighty God. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You believe in those kids. But when they know that it's not a bunch of standards, it's not, we don't want you to look bad at church or our friends or whatever. I care about you, and I love you. And that kind of love that permeates all that other garbage makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it really does.
Don't get caught up. Do we have time for one more little
thing?
Sure,
absolutely.
My son, who's 15 at the time, at the dinner table, announces, I'm getting an earring. Well, I tell you, I mean, you could have cut the air with a knife. My wife, the Baptist, she just freaked out. Every time Kevin wasn't looking, she's giving me the look like, do something, say something.
My wife's not a Baptist, and I get that same look.
Did you hear that? After dinner, my wife started right on my case. Well, what are you going to do? I've heard you say Kevin Lehman, they're his ears. If he wants to put a tin can on his ears, he can put a tin can on his ear. I said, hey, if he wants to walk around with a tin can on his ear and walk crooked for a few months, he'll figure it out. Well, anyway, constantly for 3 days he was after me to do something. So finally, on the third day, I show up at the dinner table with an earring on me. I mean, the funny part, he didn't even notice it at first. He's wolfing down his dinner like most 15-year-old kids will do. And all of a sudden, he sees the little glimmer in it, and he looks at me and his eyes narrow. And he says, you look absolutely ridiculous. I said, really? I said, your mother likes it. I'll tell you, Jim, he's 26 years of age today. We have never seen an earring in his ear yet. You know, parents, don't major in the minors. Worry about your kid's heart if you want to worry about something.
It's great, great input. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're with Kevin Lehman. We're talking about running the rapids, how you can help your kids, your adolescents, and your pre-adolescents make right and wise decisions. But you know what? This is really more about you, parent, in this conversation than it probably is about them. A lot of things we can do and a lot of hope.
Certainly is, and that's the underlying theme of every program that you will hear here on the Homeward Broadcast, whether we're talking about parenting and child issues, marital issues, financial issues, spiritual development issues, whatever we talk about here on the Homeward Broadcast, please know that there is hope. There's hope in the Lord. There's hope in and that His will is going to come through, even though you're walking through a very, very dark season right now, and there might be some sadness. And the adolescent years can be one of those seasons that can seem like it just goes on forever. Some great resources to share with you. Dr. Jim Burns' book, Confident Parenting, is very helpful. That's available for purchase in our online resource center. Also, the book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, available for purchase in our online resource center. And the 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, any of Jim's books, available for purchase when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot. You know, one of the best gifts you can give your child is praise.
Heather, that's great. Looks like all that hard work really paid off.
I am so proud of you, Tina. Making the honor roll is quite an achievement.
Of course, it's helpful if the praise is for something praiseworthy. I mean, you aren't really doing your child any favors if you lie to them.
Heather, this science project is terrific. I think it belongs in the Smithsonian.
Oh, you'll have a prom date in no time, Tina. You're the most beautiful girl in the entire junior class.
Praise and affirmation are strong motivating factors in a kid's life. So praise early and praise often.
So, Dad, what do you think of my new painting?
Well, Heather, it's just another reminder of what a great singer you are.
Daddy.
Just remember to keep it real, okay? For a free copy of my tip sheet called 7 Tips for Building Better Relationships with Your Kids, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Surviving your kids' adolescence. Well, that's something that we as parents must do, but there actually is great hope with this as well. We're with Kevin Lehman today. He's helping us understand how kids are running the rapids, but we've got something to do with that as well, and how our kids will do as they run the rapids of adolescence. Kevin, as we were talking, I was thinking about the fact that it's a turbulent time for both parents and children when they're getting ready for adolescence or when they're in adolescence. Help us understand why a kid would lie to their parents, would get drunk on Saturday night and sit with them in church and worship the Lord of Lords and really not see much problem with that.
Some research, by the way, George Barna's research suggests that kids do exactly that. And they live in two worlds. And the question I would ask parents is, just what's defining about your home that your home isn't like every other home in the world? Mm-hmm. And part of the problem is, do your kids see you in prayer? Do they really see you depend upon Almighty God? Mm-hmm. Or do you just live life and sort of throw God in there for a little flavoring?
Yeah.
A tremendous difference, parents.
Yeah.
And your kids are going to disappoint you from time to time. And, you know, when you find the 12-year-old is reading Playboy magazine or something, you find it, Mom, under his mattress in his bedroom, what do you do? I mean, I think you put it where the other magazines are in your home on the coffee table and wait for him to discover it there. And then talk with him along the lines of, well, I'm glad to see you have a natural interest in what the opposite sex looks like, but this magazine depicts women in a very demeaning way. I'd give them a little teachable moment. I'd hand the magazine back to him and say, you do with this whatever you think you should do. I'm not getting rid of it because I didn't bring it in the house. So if somebody's going to get rid of it, it's going to be you. In other words, you see, I'm sort of raking coals over
sure.
that kid.
Sure.
But these teachable moments are really important. Yeah. And when a kid gets mouthy or goes off, hey parents, don't you go off. Contemporary thought is a discipline has to follow right away. Not a great idea. Sometimes it's best just to wait. But don't be afraid to pull a rug out and use real discipline with your kids.
What do you do in the situation, let's take the Playboy magazine situation, where, you know, they do feel bad and maybe they go and throw it away. Do you then discipline them for that, or did you just discipline them by having that conversation?
You just disciplined them, parents. Hmm. And, you know, the thing was, home and school is always interesting. Hmm. If a kid violates something in school, why would you double it up at home? Let the school deal with it. Hmm. Keep the ball in their court. One of my favorite passages in the book of John, where Jesus is at a wedding feast in Cana in Galilee, and they run out of vino. I'm sure it was just grape juice. Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and says essentially, "Hey, son, come here, do your thing." I love this scripture. And Jesus says, "No." He says, "Woman, what have you to do with me?" He separates himself from his mom. And then, talk about a smart Jewish mother, she says, "Do whatever my son tells you to do." Now, did she know who Jesus was? Absolutely. But notice how smart she is. She says, "Do whatever my son tells you to do." And then Jesus, for whatever reason, changes the water into wine. Mm-hmm. Probably because Mary gave Jesus the look.
The look.
You know, same look you'd give to your kid if you asked him to do something. They said no. So, parent, let's go back to the rapids. You're in that raft, mm-hmm. okay? You're experienced. There's times you need to shut up and hang on. There's other times you have to be proactive. There's other times you have to intercede. And it's a little bit like the NFL on a Sunday afternoon. It's a judgment call. And you're the one that has to make it. Yeah. And that's the role that God has given you. Yeah. And you're the one that decided to have kids. So be a good parent and you'll end up with a great kid.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I know you have 20 rules for surviving your kids' adolescence.
Yes.
One of them is respect their choices.
Yeah.
Help us understand that whole idea of respecting choices.
Kids are dumb as mud. Let's start with that. And, you know, they'll buy whatever is twinkly and sparkly. And, you know, sometimes you'll see a young kid who spent his whole allowance on something really frivolous that you know is a waste of money. You know, it might be worth $3.50 or $4. They'll let them do that. And then 2 days later, they need money for something. You say, "Well, honey, use your allowance." "Well, Mom, I don't have any more allowance. I spent it on my sparklies." "Well, payday Saturday. We'll see you Saturday," kind of thing. In other words, the home needs to be a place where kids learn to fail. Hmm. And the Christian parents don't understand that. "Oh, Dr. Lehman, Melanie plays soccer, but we don't keep score." When I hear that, I want to go get my hurl bag. "What do you mean you don't keep score?" "Well, we believe every child should be a winner. Every child should be a winner." You know, I'd like to take parents like that and knock their heads together. What are they thinking? I mean, when did you come to Christ? Did you come to Christ out of victory? Or did you come to Christ out of failure like the rest of us? So who's kidding who? So when the milk spills tomorrow morning, we don't need a thrashing or berating. Or, "Hey, you know what's going to happen? You remind me of your Uncle Roger. You're going to end up just like your Uncle Roger." At that point, you know, we don't need a thrashing, or we just need a rag. I mean, life has to go on. You make mistakes. And we model that. Yeah. So when we make mistakes with our kids, you say, "Honey, I'm sorry. Dad shouldn't have said that. You know, that was disrespectful of me. I really didn't think. I just spoke. I'm tired. I misspoke. Please forgive me." There's your modeling.
Yeah. That's good input. What do you say to the family who perhaps they didn't have somebody believe in them like your parents believed in you? And now they just have no idea how to believe in their kids, as we're talking about that. They just simply don't know what to do.
Okay.
What do you tell them?
If you're that parent, I'll tell you what you use with your kids. You use praise. And you really have to understand this point. And if you're driving, hanging out of the wheel, praise is destructive with children. It's just the opposite of what you want to do. Your kid goes 4 for 4 in a Little League game, and you praise him. You go, "Boy, 4 for 4, you were great out there tonight. You're going to be the Red Sox organization before long." Or you walk in and little Buford, your son, has cleaned up your kitchen. "Buford, did you clean this up?" "Sure did, Dad." "Oh, you're the best boy in the world. Here's $5. Well, you praise them and now you reward them. Well, what's wrong with that, Lehman? Plenty. Because it says, "I hold you in high esteem because you did that." Now listen to encouragement, which is where I'm going with this thing. Not praise, but encouragement. Praise God, that's okay. All others pay cash. God's worthy of our praise, and Burns and Lehman are not, trust me. So you walk in and you see Buford has cleaned the kitchen. "Buford, did you clean this?" "Sure did, Mom." "Huh, what a pleasant surprise to come home and find a clean kitchen. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that so much." That's encouragement. There's your self-esteem. I gave back to the family. There's the takeaway. Or 4 for 4 in a Little League game. "Hey, looks like you were having a great time out there." It looks like that extra batting practice you've been taking is really paying off. Hmm. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
And emotionally, it has all kinds of a positive impact on that child.
These kids are going through all kinds of ups and downs. One of them would be faith. How do you help them run the rapids so that when they get past these rapids, they have a solid faith in Christ?
A couple of things. I think you really have to, number one, pray for your kids every day. Number two, I think when tough things happen, let's talk about how mean kids can be. They can harpoon a kid. They say some of the nastiest things, and you find out about it, the teacher gets involved. And no matter how that child has handled it, because no kid's going to handle it very well, find something positive to say about how they handled it. You didn't kill them, honey, and that's really good, because if I were you, I think that's what I would have tried to do. And you begin to encourage the kid that you notice how they're handling it, and it's really a tough situation, and I don't know if I could have done what you've done, but you know what? You're getting there, and I know it's tough, but I marvel at your resiliency. I marvel at how you handle this. And what the Bible teaches us, honey, and then you give them that little lesson.
Yeah.
And then give them something personal out of your life where you've been hurt by people. I've been hurt by Christians much more than heathens. And I love to share those with the kids where, you know, I took the high road. My carnal self said, you know, I'd like to punch them out in Christian mouth. But taking the high road and letting the kids see that that's how you live your life, encouraging them, talking to them, and coming back to it in a couple of days and say, honey, how are things working out with that kid at school? I've been praying for you. And I know it's tough when you're picked on. And kids are, they're merciless today. So coming alongside of them and just saying, you know, honey, I marvel at how well you're doing life is really important.
It's very, very, very important. Well, our time is up. Thank you so much for great words of wisdom. I feel like we've had a little pep talk from
Can we do another program?
I would love to do another program. So we're going to have you back in sometime soon, and we'll keep on talking. Thanks so much again.
I appreciate you, Jim. You're a straight shooter, and you always bring us good stuff.
Amen to that. Well, one of the reasons that we're able to say, make a claim like that is because of guys like Kevin Lehman who join us on the Homeward broadcast. That concludes part two of our two-part conversation with Dr. Lehman. Tips for Surviving Your Kids' Adolescence is our theme today, and we've been talking about Kevin's book, Running the Rapids. Of course, he's written some great books recently, Have a New Kid by Friday, Be a New Mom by Friday. I mean, there's so many different ways that Kevin goes at this so practically, and we appreciate all of Kevin's books. As a matter of fact, Jim recommends all of Kevin's books, and if you'd like to learn more about the works of Dr. Kevin Lehman, go to our online resource center if you're not there already at homeward.com and just follow the prompts. You click on Kevin's name, it'll take you right to his online resource center as well.
My guest today on Homeward has been best-selling author Kevin Lehman, and what a delight to have him with us. We've been talking about the ways that we as parents can survive our kids' adolescence. The thought here is that if we can get through it with them, and the emphasis on we, then our kids can do more than just survive their own adolescence. I mean, it can actually become a great time of life for them. And it was a great time of life for me as a kid, and it can be for your own kids. Two tips to leave you with in these closing moments of today's program. They aren't in any sort of order. They're just helpful reminders of how we as parents can do a better job of A, keeping the adolescent years of our kids in proper perspective, and B, live to enjoy our grandchildren. Okay, first tip for surviving the adolescence of your children. Don't act like a teenager, ever. If you're a parent, you already lived through your teenage years, but now your kids are counting on you to be grown-ups. They don't need you to be one of their peers. In fact, if you are trying to be their peer, it's not going to work anyway because you're not. So be their parent. Stand up and act like one. Second tip for surviving your kids' adolescence is don't pick at their flaws. Many times we call nagging flooding, and flooding is when you constantly are nagging or criticizing your kids. It doesn't work. Nagging doesn't work. Criticizing doesn't work. Actually, being negative in the home doesn't work. So don't be a person who picks at their flaws, and your kids are going to resent you for it anyway.
That's a good point. It's hard to do. Boy, is that tough to do. And if you're dealing with that right now, I want to encourage you to contact us here at Homeward. We have a resource that will help you to be a bit less naggy. It's our daily online devotional. We call it our evotional. It's a nugget of encouragement, a Bible verse, some encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. Jim Burns writes a weekly feature in that. Doug Fields also does. Jim Liebeld, our web editor, also contributes as well. And these are so helpful because on those days when you're just feeling stressed and you and your kids are button heads and you really can't find another way around this. It's a good way to get your balance. It's a keep your spiritual focus. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it's biblical, it's practical, and it'll help you out. For more information on how to start receiving this free resource, visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.